How come my picture doesn't show?
I don't know. I just see a black square for you.
Yeah.
But your camera's on. You can try and log off and log back on.
No, I know why.
Oh, do you have the switch over your head? There you go.
I got a look. Yeah, that's what I got. That's it.
Oh, yeah, this laptop doesn't have one for me.
Sorry about that. Like, what's going on?
Hi, Rhea.
Hi, Rhea.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not bad.
Good. I'm fine. Thanks.
Yeah, Jimmy got this little cool little thing that just clips right on where the camera is in the middle, and it just slides back and forth, about that big. Forget where he got it, but it says Civix, C-I-V-I-X. That is.
Some laptops come with the ability to toggle your camera on and off.
Yeah, this one's kind of getting old. It didn't. Yeah. He got it somewhere. Well, let me know if you can't hear me or if things lock up, because I'll turn off the camera.
You're good for now.
Yay.
Amanda, did you get the email I sent you with the changes?
Okay. Yeah, thanks. I haven't had a chance to go through and make them, but I did get it. I didn't hear from anybody that they weren't coming tonight. So, and we're still a couple minutes early, so I'll wait a bit.
So I have a question. If this is our last meeting, right? Barring any action by the Board of Selectmen?
Right. Correct.
So how did the minutes of this meeting ever get approved? Okay. I was just curious because I thought I don't really know how that happens, but
no, I would have to ask. I have no idea.
I'll ask you when I send them.
We can officially approve them now when the time comes.
You can't approve them if I haven't done them.
Right.
What? Oh, of this minute. Oh, well. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it meant last meeting.
No.
Okay. I get it.
Sorry, not you guys, my dog.
I'll put all kinds of crazy stuff in there. I'll sign a task to John and...
Careful what you wish for.
The power I have right now.
All righty. Well, it looks like we have a quorum, so I will call the meeting to order right on time at 7:00. Maybe we'll be joined by a couple other folks. Did everybody get the packet that I mailed out?
Yeah.
All right, yes. Perfect. So let me pull up the agenda. So the first thing on our agenda is public participation. Anybody from the public? Hearing none, we will move on to the next agenda item. So it would be approval of the minutes from our last meeting, which was December 21st, I believe. Did folks get a chance to briefly look at the minutes from the last meeting? I can pull them up on the screen if that would be helpful. All right, so December 20th. I lied, I was one day late. So let me, it won't let me make it bigger because, there we go. All right, so in attendance, myself, Kwan, Jennifer, Rhea, Cheryl, John, and Paula. Anne, did you end up joining us last meeting at all?
I thought I was there.
Yeah, I think so too.
I thought it was Cheryl that came late. I must have missed you joining. Sorry about that, Anne.
No worries. We can just make that change.
Did you vote on the minutes?
Oh, wait. No, you're right. I was not there.
Okay.
So you didn't come late either?
No, I was in New York. Okay.
Oh, right. That was the New York trip with your daughter. Okay. So we voted to approve the minutes from November. We took a look at the data once again and then set some action steps just to complete the analysis and finish the report because the clock was ticking. And then we talked about some of the potential items to go in the report. And we left the meeting with myself and Paula having to finish the report. And then I would pull lists of towns that have DEI commissions. I did pull lists of towns. I didn't send them to Paula, but I did do some research. consider getting feedback for if the town would be interested in a permanent DEI commission. Someone to work on a resolution for recommendation to continue the commission and look to see if school has data on employees who work in town and relatives who are also employees. And then we adjourned. So decent conversation that we had, but nothing too complicated. Did anybody have any questions or comments before we approve the minutes? Okay, hearing none. Does anyone want to make a motion to approve the minutes from December 20th?
I'll make it.
And a second?
Second.
Amanda, I can't hear you.
You're on mute.
Is that me? Oh, no, okay.
Sorry, I muted because the dog was in the background driving me nuts. all in favor of approving the minutes from December 20th, please say aye or raise your hands.
Aye.
All abstaining. And that's one abstention from Anne. Everybody else is in favor. The motion passes. All right. So moving on to the next agenda item. That is to discuss the draft of the survey. So let me pull that up in its Word version so that I can edit as we go and make comments. All right. So it was a bit long, mostly because I opted to include for the narrative questions, all of the responses that were shared by the children, just because there weren't a ton of responses overall for the survey. So that's a question I have for you guys is, should we share all of them? Still have to finalize the executive summary in terms of the findings and recommendations, because that's what we're gonna talk about tonight. Survey development, Anne and Rhea, I don't know if you got a chance to pull something together. Did you send me an email and I missed it?
No, I apologize. Yeah, so I have it. I can shoot it to you right now.
Okay. That'd be great. Do you want me to review it with everybody or?
I mean, it's largely similar to what you have up there.
Okay.
So, I mean, we can. Hold on. I'll just send it to you.
Okay. Survey distribution, we just tweaked slightly. So a lot of it was just, you know, Paula had already worked on tweaking the original analysis for the student analysis. Simplified, obviously, the analysis factors, because we only looked at three different things for this survey based on the questions that we asked the students. And then we delved into the responses. So the 46 respondents actually represented, I think, a 13% overall response rate. Yes, 13.1. I'm struggling to find it. Let me see if I can make this bigger, because if I can't see it, you guys can't see it. There we go. Yeah. So actually a higher response rate than the adult survey, even though we got, you know, 182, just obviously because the universe of that we were comparing the respondents against was smaller. And so pulled some of the, made some demographic charts based on the data. We were overrepresented by 11th and 12th graders and underrepresented for 9th and 10th graders, but not horribly skewed in any one direction or another. So that was good. Race data that was from the survey showed obviously mostly white folks. And then using the data that Rhea shared, I gotta make this. There we go. Borders are nice. So based on the data that Rhea shared about the student body, I was able to compare our respondents to the entirety of the student body from 7th through 12th grade. And so in looking at that, we were slightly overrepresented by individuals who identified as multiracial, but quite frankly, weren't very far off there either in terms of representation. So that was good. Most were English speaking, most were Bolton residents, obviously. Gender identity, we only had three people identify as non-binary, and one of those is a questionable response, which I can't remember where I put that in here.
You put it up in the questionable response? You put it up in the beginning.
I think it's down. It's in the limitations here, right? Okay,
right,
so
second paragraph, yeah.
Yeah, so that's something, I mean, we can't redo the analysis at this point by taking it out, but I did want to draw attention. So I did put in here that there was one survey response that analyzers believe may have been submitted by an adult looking to skew survey results. The respondent made multiple comments about CRT, the queer agenda, and checked off all genders, all races, and said their primary language was Ebonics and that they live in Hartford. The data was included in the results, as it was impossible to say whether this response truly reflects the thoughts of one of our students. I didn't want to eliminate it in case it was an accurate response, right?
I had a question on that, though. How do you, what made you think it was an adult? Because I thought it was just a smart aleck kid. I did think that it was, you know, somebody who was trying to do something.
But so I should just say a person instead of an adult. That's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Or the respondent, a respondent.
Oh.
Because we don't know what type they are.
And they also identified as a transfer student, right? So it was like all the potential like minority identifications and some really random narrative responses. It could be someone who's really upset, right? Like who actually is in those categories, but the language was just very interesting. And I mean, you can, people will be able to flag those responses, I think, as they look through the data, but did want to just, you know, put that as a limitation for one of our responses. And then not sure how I wanted to word this, but I did want to put it in here. Like, we weren't able to do analysis based on all of the LGBTQIA plus identities because we didn't ask about sexual orientation. I can leave that part out and just say questions around sexual orientation were not asked in the survey, as opposed to qualify it, if that's a better option?
I think it would be better to actually qualify, because, you know, it's too bad that we didn't ask, because those are the kids that are being murdered around the country. And it's, I think people need to know that we kind of fluffed it a bit, but I think it's too important to just sweep it under the rug. You know, we've seen too many people, too many of these kids, gay kids murdered or beaten or really physically harmed. And what they're doing to the trans community is just, there's murders every day. I don't think we should just ignore it.
What were the concerns from parents?
Pardon me?
What were the concerns from parents?
Well, I think we opted not to include Rhea and correct me if I'm wrong, that we opted not to ask about sexual orientation, as it's a extremely hot button item. And there had been previous comments in social media from parents about how schools should not be asking children about their sexual preferences.
Okay. I just didn't know what they were. So yeah, okay, now I get it.
But Rhea and Anne, if you have different recollections, I mean, you guys really pulled this together, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have specific recollections, except I know that there was some discussion about, you know, this survey was targeting seventh and eighth graders in addition to older high school. And I just don't know that all of those age groups necessarily know what their orientation is yet. Sure. So it was going to be hard to get really reliable results, I think.
So out of caution for concerns from parents and the target age group, questions around sexual orientation were not asked. Okay. Everybody okay with that?
Yeah, that works.
Okay. Yeah. So you know, when looking at the non-binary individuals, one of those three respondents was the, you know, questionable respondent that we're not sure of.
I call him the smart aleck.
The smart aleck. So it was the potential smart aleck response. And so that really reduces our N, the number of people that identified that way. But you know, we did not have data on, oh, it did say neither. Yeah. The data we got from Rhea said neither. It said M, F, or N. So I assumed N meant neither. That was an assumption on my part. Or it could mean non-binary. I'm not sure. Either way, it works. So they said N. So the data we got from Rhea showed zero. But our respondents, if there were three, oh, did I do seven? Oh, it's 7% because I had to get rid of the unknown. So without the unknowns, it's 7%. So obviously, like, even though we had a very small N of three, still overrepresented compared to our known data set, even though I'm almost 100% sure that's probably not zero. I'd say that's a safe assumption to make, but.
Well, we know it's not zero because there were people who told us.
Right, that they had, right.
Yeah.
So. Yeah,
it's just that the school may not know it based on their,
exactly. Yep. So then I didn't go through doing favorability ratings for you know, all the questions the way we did in the adult survey. So we just did the average score that Paula and I worked on. So I just provided the answers to every question the way we did on the adult survey. And then for some of them where I thought it was poignant, I added a graph to show the split. And then where there was a follow-up that was a narrative, I put all of the narrative data in there. And I had reduced the sizes of all these, and for whatever godforsaken reason, I'll go through and format, but they want to be big.
Do you think you should put in there that the comments are as whatever they're literally,
oh, the footnote, add a footnote like I did on the adult
yeah
one.
So this doesn't look like we typed it in wrong.
Yep, footnote re-grammar.
I put that I put that in the email to you, so if
okay. And why do I feel like I, oh, right here, it's here.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So with the foot, yeah, the footnote is captured here.
Okay.
I was like, I swear I did that already. So yeah, like I said earlier, I put all the responses in here. There weren't a ton because we only had 46 respondents and not everybody chose to provide a narrative response. Right. And I didn't necessarily want the Board of Selectmen or whoever reads this to think we were leaving things out because it's kids, right? And I didn't want them to feel like we were misrepresenting anybody or anything. And so I put it all here. Didn't have any, I'll have to work on spacing. But after reviewing the numbers and the narratives, I struggled to come up with themes. And hence findings. I don't know if you could tell when you got down to that part of the report.
One thing I kind of noticed was when they were talking about the part about, would you recommend, well, something like, would you recommend this Bolton to other people? I found from the comments that a lot of the comments that were positive were because it was small.
Yeah.
And that was why they would recommend it, not because of the welcoming diversity, right? And all of the negatives had to do with diversity or not fitting in or not being understood or that kind of stuff. But the positive really centered about it being small. And that was the positive, but that's not necessarily
DEI related.
Correct. Yeah. That's not the positive we were looking for.
Yeah. What did I put? All right. So I did, and I did do think I alluded to that somehow in the finding sections. But so then I looked at the analysis by group identifiers based on the work that Paula and I did, and you know, just shared the N again, and drew attention to some of the things based on identifiers. So the difference, there was a pretty strong difference between high schoolers and middle schoolers. So high schoolers weighted things more negatively than, more negatively. More positively, I lied. Did I do the math wrong here? Nope, higher numbers are better.
Yeah.
So yes, more negatively. Sorry, I'm thinking backwards. It's been a minute since I looked at the numbers. So high schoolers responded more negatively than middle schoolers generally did. Oops, for this section of questions. And so I was hypothesizing that, and so this was about how welcoming they felt the school was. And so I had indicated that it was also noted that middle schoolers were less likely than high schoolers to spend time with people of different cultures, race, ability levels, and gender identities inside and outside of school. So perhaps the student's worldview expands to be more diverse as they get older, and so too does their ability to identify the impact of those differences. So I just kind of ran, I can't prove that hypothesis or anything, but based on the data and the fact that the older kids spend more time with people who are different than them, and they also seem to suggest, that could be a direction that the data takes us in, but I could say instead of this seems to indicate, I could just say this could, that's a little less.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna ask, there were a couple of comments, several comments that people made about LGBTQ people not being accepted or understood. And I was going to go back and look and I forgot. Do we know whether there were several comments, were they made by the same person in different areas or were they, they were made by the same person?
Okay. Yeah, I did go through and check because when I was looking for themes, I was like, oh, there are quite a few comments about LGBTQI+, but it was like three comments, three different questions, all the same person.
Okay.
So yeah, I couldn't really elevate that as a theme because it was just one respondent. We saw that all the way down for all these questions, high schoolers scoring more negatively than middle schoolers. So that was just an interesting finding without being able to draw any necessarily conclusions from it. So for race or ethnicity, so students who identified as white were slightly more likely than average to spend time inside of school with people different than them, probably because, you know, there's choice students in school, and people, and, you know, the school is where everybody is, as opposed to outside of school where they may choose to spend time with people that look like them. Whereas people of color were more, or BIPOC individuals were less likely to spend time inside of school with people who are different than them, and more likely to spend time outside of school with people who are different than them. So just kind of a flip-flop there, not sure why, but again, trying to come up with, draw potential conclusions. I said that it could speak to the comfort level of students of color to build relationships in the school where they are a minority. It's like that book, Why Are All the Black Kids Sitting Together at the Lunch in the Cafeteria, right? Which I have yet to read, but it is on my list. So, you know, not, we can't make conclusions, but, you know, say, trying to draw some type of maybes that we could pull out of the data. And then I was honest, right? Overall, on the remaining questions, BIPOC students responded quite a bit more favorably than the average person, which may not have been what we expected, right? The only question they scored slightly more negatively on than average was about feeling connected to adults at the school. And also the question about whether or not adults treated people from different races, cultures, genders, and abilities fairly. And I just said this may not be surprising, given that while BIPOC students make up 20% of the 7th through 12th graders, only 2 out of 164, or just 1% of staff in the school system, identify as BIPOC. And then gender identity, again, this N was very small. We're talking about 3 individuals, one of whom may not be real. So in general, based on gender identity, respondents were identified as female, provided answers that were more negative than the average respondent, while males and non-binary individuals had responses that were more favorable. However, notable exceptions to this were for the non-binary individuals. They had more negative responses to the following questions. So belonging, being comfortable, does the curriculum represent broad cultures, and is everybody treated equal? And then findings. So again, like with the adult survey, there was a lack of consensus on whether or not Bolton is diverse, go figure. But 40% agreed with the statement, while 49 disagreed. So slightly more people believe that it's not diverse.
Do we know how these kinds of answers, I put that in my email to you, do we know how they compare to how the adults answered similar questions about were diverse enough, or, you know, I don't know if we can even compare them but were there any questions that were kind of similar?
Yeah, I mean, we did have a question about like how diverse should Bolton be, right? That it was a scoring question, like rating it, yeah, you know, on a scale of 1 to 9. And that leaned 6 and up. Well, the average was 6.8 on that one. But I mean, even in the narrative question, some people were like, it's totally diverse, and some people said it's not diverse. So I mean, it was very similar. And that's why I said, as with the adult survey,
okay,
there was definitely a split. So I just said, and then a lot of the people that said it was diverse had qualifiers. And so I put examples of what I meant by qualifiers. So the buts. And so I said that this, combined with a 9% higher response rate for those who disagreed with the statement, suggests that Bolton Public Schools have room for improvement as it relates to building a diverse student body. But not that it's like overwhelmingly horrible. So like, just, that's why I was like, room for improvement. There's always room for improvement, right? Gender and sexuality differences. So there were several comments by respondents suggesting that when it comes to kindness and equal treatment, girls and those who identify it. So that's why because most of the LGBTQIA responses were one person, I combined it with the girl treatments. So because it was all around gender identity and LGBTQI identity. So that there were issues for females as well as people who identify as LGBTQI plus. And so I put the examples of that.
I spotted a typo.
Okay. There's plenty. I haven't fixed them yet.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
So on the bottom of page 21, it says are not treated as well or equality with males.
That's in my email too. Yeah,
I figured. I was like, Paula went through with a fine tooth comb, but I still got a lot of things to make up. So I put the examples of some of these comments, and then I just said this suggests that Bolton's public schools may need to provide more education for students and staff around gender and sexuality and how to treat others kindly and fairly, regardless of how they identify. And then respondents were split about whether they would recommend the Bolton school system. So they were basically evenly split between yes and no. So the drawbacks for the ones who wouldn't recommend it was not having options for extracurriculars, limited offerings, and the fact that there's not much going on. Some of the positives that led students to recommend the school system were the superior education system, the great teachers and faculty, and the general respect felt from most of the faculty and student body. The size was viewed as a positive for some who felt like it allowed for more attention and for deeper connections, while others felt that the size hindered their ability to fit in or find people you really get along with. So I said, while most responses were not directly related to DEI, these are factors that the school administration and Board of Ed will need to weigh as they consider ways to maintain and increase student body numbers in Bolton. Both the growth of families moving
to those
to town or through the recruitment of Columbia and Choice program students. So, you know, really hard to draw DEI conclusions from this. Like Paula was saying, there wasn't a ton of DEI mentioned in these responses about whether or not it would be recommended. So
I had about the next section. You had the overall BPS system.
Yep.
You have 2.5 to 5. Wasn't it 3 to 5?
So halfway between.
Okay. When we up above, didn't you say less than 3? 1 to 1. When you first
it might be play. 3. It might be. I may be wrong. No. That would be scores of 1 to 3. You're right.
Okay.
Scores of 1 to 1, 2, 3.
Average scores of 3 to 5 were more favorable, with 1 to 3 were less favorable. It should be 0, maybe 0.
1 to 2, 2 to 3. 3 to 4, 4 to 5, yes, 5, 3, yes. Oh, it's only Tuesday. I don't know how I'm gonna get through the rest of this week if I can't even count. Let me find that spot.
Page 22, yeah.
Oops. I do not have my numlock on, and so it kicked me down. 2, 3. So, I mean, broadly speaking, there weren't any major concerns raised in these responses, right? Like, I don't know if other people interpreted the data differently, but in looking through, like, the results were overall quite positive, except for a couple very vocal folks who tended to have comments to say, and like the one massive complaint was not necessarily about diversity, but about kindness, right? Like a lot of people saying people might be unkind, but kind of hard to tie that to any DEI stuff.
Well, what are the other things that people would be unkind about?
Doesn't say. Like the responses were really vague. None of these students came out and were very, the only one like Paula was saying was the girl who identifies, I think she identified as female, who identifies LGBTQIA plus.
Mm-hmm.
And she had some comments. And then the one who was complaining about encountering her teacher and the kids on vacation, they just that they wouldn't say hi to her. But we don't know why. I don't remember who the respondent was, but they didn't extrapolate as to why they thought
that was the case. They made some sort of reference to the fact that it was a special ed teacher that had been her special ed teacher, right?
Right.
So
maybe she's special ed. She's thinking it's because she's a special ed student.
I don't know, but that it was somebody who thought it was my teacher and she didn't acknowledge me in public.
Yeah.
So there are two recommendations that I was thinking of when I was looking at this. One was to maybe one is cheap, costs no money, and that is to incorporate a DEI subcommittee as part of student council and let the students kind of run that. And if there's a DEI town committee, they can work with the town committee, like they can work in conjunction, supporting each other. But at least at a very minimum, they can work towards making sure there's more inclusion in the school activities that the student council puts on. That costs them nothing. And yep. Then, oh my God, I completely forgot the other one.
Did you send it in your email?
No. Oh, hang on. Maybe. It'll come to me. Hang. Oh, I was thinking of the board of ed adopting a proclamation similar to the town of some sort.
Got it.
Crap. Hang on. I wrote it down somewhere.
That makes sense. I like those. I mean, I struggled to come up with stuff for this one. Clearly, there's only two. Or three. So I had recruit diverse staff. That's a pretty no-brainer, right? You've got 20% of the student body identify as BIPOC, but only 2% of teachers, 1% of teachers. Oh. Go ahead.
The other one I thought is that, you know, based on some of this, you know, to me is both, right? Based on what we heard at the Black Lives Matter rally, plus this, that maybe the board of ed would want to undertake something, decide that they want to undertake something themselves that specifically targets the school and really looks to get more feedback from the entire pipe. So maybe like in homeroom, everybody fills out the survey as part of a homeroom just so that they can get more feedback and get not results that they're looking for, but get answers to specific questions that are more targeted to Bolton. Right, so this is like a jumping off point. This doesn't draw any strong conclusions one way or the other, but if you got a better turnout because you decided to do this and target a higher response rate.
Going back to the DEI subcommittee on student council, at one point, and I think it's very recently that the Gay Straight Alliance at the school seemed to have disbanded. I know it was started at almost, I'd say 17, 18 years because they had me come and speak. And I know it was going on for quite a good long time. And and apparently there's still, LGBTQ plus in the school system, and it's kind of sad that it passed on.
Do we know that they don't anymore? Like, do we know
I was told that it wasn't. Maybe Raya knows better, but
no, I don't know about that.
It was there for a good long time. Yeah, it was there for a good long time. Like I said, I spoke to them back, I think it was back in 2004. When the person that started it off, who eventually became the congregational minister for a little while here in town, she had me come and speak. Mm. And I just explained, what we've all been doing for the last, 30 years going back. Never got asked back, but... I'm just kind of wondering what happened to it.
Yeah, we'll see what Kristen. Yeah,
I'll ask Kristen.
That's great. So I suggested recruiting diverse staff. Then the other thing I was, and I wasn't sure if I should include this part, right? Like, we didn't do a data analysis based on outcomes, right? And I didn't know if the school has done an analysis based on outcomes. So really looking at the things that matter, right? So detention, suspensions, expulsions, graduation rates, and participation in advanced placement classes by race and ethnicity to see if there's any differences there between the students who identify as BIPOC and those that don't. Because, you know, that's typically like when you look at national education data, right? You see typically students of color having more expulsions than their white counterparts or more detentions, et cetera, et cetera. And that's an area that we didn't get to delve into, right? But that the school could choose to undertake. So I don't know if that's probably a whole different recommendation, right?
I think they have to report that. The state collects all that information. So they should have it.
I think I've seen the detention and suspension one. Yeah. What I don't know is whether they've considered that to be something that is noteworthy or not. And I think the results were that people of color were disproportionately higher, whether it was out of sync with the state or out of sync for what they consider to be acceptable. I don't know whether anything is done by it or do they just report on it.
I don't, and sometimes I've noticed that the numbers are so small that they don't report anything because they're not required to, or there's really no request for that information. But I can find out what information, you know, usually academic achievement or performance by gender and race or ethnicity is reported. So I'll ask for what the reports are. I would like to know myself. I should know this.
That would definitely be interesting. And so then the other thing that I was able to say that they should do is DEI inclusion training. So even though they didn't raise any outright examples of discrimination, I said that like, there were comments of jokes and being insensitive and that it could be influencing students in subtle ways and, you know, different treatment for girls and then boys and LGBTQIA students. And I said it may speak to microaggressions and underlying culture that's not as inclusive in its practices as it could be. So school administrators may want to undergo an inclusivity assessment to identify small things that could make the BPS environment more inclusive for all, thus normalizing identities currently seen as different. One respondent suggested one such change, which was a designated LGBT. I don't know what LGBTQXROUN means, unless it was I put it in here as they put it. That may be something I'm not familiar with, or it could be a typo, but either way, I think the point of it gets across, right? And I said that would be an easy change, in particular where restrooms are single stalls and that with labels that mark them as gender neutral as opposed to family restrooms. Because I think like when I think BPS has single stall bathrooms, but they're listed as like family bathrooms in a school system, right? Like, I don't know that it. So that's one easy change they could do. And then I don't know the extent, and that's why I put a qualifier here. So additionally, if the school has not already done so, it should consider incorporating DEI training for students into the curriculum in an effort to combat unconscious bias, microaggressions, and outright bigotry, which I said, while not raised in the survey, was raised in the adult survey about the school system and has been highlighted by social media posts in recent years, i.e. the student that was called the N-word in seventh grade. And then extracurriculars, I wasn't sure if I should put this in here because it's a stretch. But this was a big theme in one of our narrative questions. that it's going to need to contend with challenges that come from supporting a K-12 school system with a town of just 5,000 residents and a small tax base. Some of the respondents felt that the small size and lack of extracurriculars available to students was a major drawback. This combined with some of the aforementioned challenges, such as the homogenous staff, maybe for preventing choice students and Columbia students from choosing the BPS system and discouraging families from moving to town, thereby limiting opportunities for expanded diversity and increased revenue.
Rhea and I talked about that and we thought it should be kept in. I mean, I think it's worth noting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
Yep.
Okay. I thought it might be a little bit of a stretch, so I figured I'd ask. all right, so we'll get rid of that. Okay, and then I will work with Paula to expand upon these three suggestions and call it a day.
I had another question. There was one comment in there. It was that long comment that the person talked about, and he very specifically named the principal in a specific incident. And I'm concerned about the fact that I know that the data, the raw data is going to be available to, you know, to whatever, anybody. I doubt anybody's going to look at it, but I just felt like in this particular report, it is identifiable, and I'm sure that the principal will be able to identify who that person was based on the conversation that was said. I just didn't know if there was a way in this report that we could just, I don't know. I don't know the answer. Just try to.
You think the principal would retaliate?
I would hope not. I really would hope not.
Would certainly hope that they would learn from their mistake and not do it again. And
this is supposed to be like anonymous.
That's
where you have to be careful in a small school.
Do a search on Giard because he named him by name. G-I-A-R-D. G-I-A-R-D.
Oh, I didn't realize he was the principal.
Oh, that principal. Oh, I'm completely surprised. But okay. It also says years ago. How many? One? Five?
Well, He didn't say this person didn't say anything terribly bad about him, just that he didn't follow through. Which, well, that's my complaint about half the people I work with, right? Lack of follow through. So
everybody's
okay. If nobody else feels that it's too late, I'm fine with that. I was just trying to do something to make it more anonymous, but if nobody else feels that way, I
kind of agree with you, Paula. I think this makes this person not anonymous.
Yeah.
You know,
couldn't we just say that in the past it spoke to a principal? That it, you know.
Or just put that this is to protect the confidentiality of this respondent. The information will be, summarized or.
Yeah. So I just put the student shared potentially identifying. A potentially identifying story, which was removed for anonymity.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you read further in that comment, there's another part that we might want to take out for the same reason. I think it's even worse, actually.
It's the part about the
teacher. Before we go to that, at the very beginning of the sentence, how about putting quotes before nobody and quotes after the dash and between the dash and excluded?
Well, the whole thing is a quote, right?
Yeah,
the whole thing is a quote.
Oh. Yeah. So every single one of these lines is a quote, a direct quote.
Right. So.
Okay. Yeah. Never mind.
So I can just get rid of the whole thing and just put.
Or I would summarize what the student said, you know, just summarize that this particular student felt that the school with the students and faculty, many students and faculty were unkind. I mean, I would use those terms, but I would try to make it so that.
Yeah, blame it on everybody.
What?
Well, I mean, I think we could keep in a lot of the language, but yeah. just take out the parts that are potentially sure. identifiable. Would sure. And then I think you would be left with enough to, you know, get across what this person was trying to say.
Does somebody want to take a stab at it and send it back to me?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, thanks, Anne. Okay. Any other questions, comments about this draft before we work on a final one?
Just a quick question on the part of the recommendations where we were actually looking at the training component of the recommendations. If you go back to that real quick, just a general overall question. I know we had brought up a point about training for staff in general. My question is, when it comes to especially the high school guidance counselors and how frequently they're actually utilized at the high school, if they receive the same level of training as the teachers there, or if they receive a higher level of training, and if they don't receive a higher level of training, could that be something that could potentially be a recommendation? I know high school counselors tend to maybe work more on a one-on-one basis. So students may open up to that person a little bit more so than a teacher or someone that actually has an effect on their grade, or maybe might be seen as having close relations with the principal.
I know they get training. I don't know if they get more training. I would assume they do as counselors, and they have to keep up their CECs, I would think, continuing education credits.
Yeah.
I mean, I can certainly put that in here. I don't know that it's a conclusion that can be drawn from anything in particular. And so you're just saying because they might be the ones with the closest relationships with the kids.
Yeah, if the kids might want to open up a little bit more, if they want to have another outlet besides a home or besides their teacher or teachers that might have a little bit more influence, their perceived influence on their grades and how things might result afterwards.
Okay. Anything else? All right, then given that it is 7:49, I do want to move on to the next part of the agenda, which is basically a plan for the Board of Selectmen presentation the first week of February, where we have to go and give a final presentation. And I do have a bit to say in this arena, which may come as a surprise to folks, so I wanted to give people time for feedback, but so we kind of have to go to them with our final, we have to go with them to them with the report for the students, but we have to go to them with our final ask, right? And quite frankly, as I've been thinking about the recommendations we made with the adult survey, I have concerns about implementing a permanent commission in town and wanted to get thoughts from folks on the committee. I will say that this is something that I've struggled with for the last couple months. One of my biggest concerns is getting enough volunteers to run the commission, right? Because I know that we've all expressed interest in the work, but also having other commitments. You know, I'm moving into Board of Finance season where I have a meeting every week, if not twice a week. Running up to budgets. And so I personally cannot commit to chairing a commission moving forward. And I only have one person outside of this commission, the current commission members, who has expressed any desire to join such a commission. I have also had conversations with people who are part of nonprofit groups that are doing DEI work in the region, versus being on a town commission. And, you know, they have elevated the challenges of working within the bureaucratic machine, right? The fact that all of these meetings are FOIable, the fact that, you know, they all have to be scheduled and on time and recorded, and funding as well came up, that, like, you know, if you want funding as a town commission in order to do stuff, you have to get in the town budget. You can't usually solicit grants in the same way as a nonprofit would be able to for some of the stuff that the commission might do. There is a group that I've mentioned before called CODE out of Hebron, Coalition on Diversity and Equity. It is Hebron, Andover, Marlborough, and Columbia. And surrounding towns. So we are part of surrounding towns, and they are open to having members from Bolton sit on that commission. The only challenge is that they define diversity from a race and ethnicity perspective only. And I know we have been much more inclusive in our efforts. But just wondering what you guys think about the recommendation to the town regarding a permanent commission and where you guys stand on that now.
I think we should try, and if we are successful, we need to make it so that there's a budget for us, that we're included in everything the way all the other boards and commissions are. And by that, I mean training, costs for the commission, for whatever appropriate groups that we could attend things to, including the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities. I know I tried to go to last year's meeting, but they told me that, well, this commission didn't have any money in the budget, so I just went on my own. There's a lot that can be learned when you're in any boarding commission on either the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities or any of the Board of Ed professional groups, or the land use groups, planning and zoning, zoning board of appeals groups that have that. But that should be made available to us too, so that we can go to things that are important enough to be trained in, to make it easier to get this group working properly in town. Let's hope that we can actually continue on. If we don't, that speaks volumes too.
Yeah, and I think I my personal opinion is that I think that based on just history, I think it's going to be very hard to man a committee and keep it active. We tried, you know, the Ed Foundation has, you know, was up and then died. Even the PTA has a hard time getting people to do just that. And I feel like if anything, people would be willing to do things in the summer, but during the school year, it's just awfully hard to get people involved and engaged in something. And I don't know. I find it hard to believe that we're going to be able to find, and I almost feel like it's worse if we say we want to do a permanent committee and then we're not able to get it off the ground. Yeah. That's going to be worse for the town.
That's kind of where I don't want this to be a bad reflection, or like, yeah. Well, if nobody signs up, then it's not important, right? I mean,
I'd almost lean towards asking them to I don't want to say ask for a volunteer that's like a permanent, like if that person leaves and they ask for another volunteer. We've done that with other things, like the lake, you know, the lake people, and that like is in charge of going and going to the other towns that ask, that will allow us to sit on their committees, and then bringing that information back. And maybe that information can be advertised on the town bulletin and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That might be an easier way to do it, at mm-hmm. least until we can see if anybody from Bolton starts showing up at these things.
Yeah.
Well, and that's also what I was thinking, because so CODE had an event last night for MLK Day, and they had 80 people show up, right? It was like they had great attendance. it's regional. Like we, and they're open to, like, if we did an event in Bolton, they would share it with their membership and vice versa. So one of the, so in, I didn't want to go to the board with nothing, right? And say, well, this is the report, end of story. I wanted us to be able to go with suggestions. And so I still think we should do the statement on equity or the proclamation, like you mentioned. And I did edit that a little bit and wanted to run that guys, but that by you guys. I still think the town needs to do an accessibility assessment and develop an improvement plan there. One easy thing they can do again is gender neutral restrooms, wherever they have a single stall restroom in any town public building. They can.
Sorry, go ahead. What do you mean by single stall bathroom? Is that just like a single bathroom?
Yeah.
Or is it like a stall within a bathroom?
Anywhere where there's only one toilet.
Okay.
So, I think.
So are we saying that, I'm confused because like when I think of Bolton Center School, do they have single bathrooms?
Yep. The one faculty. I always use during election day. Yeah,
That's the faculty. Those are the faculty laboratories.
So would they then change that to be single to be gender neutral and faculty?
Is it labeled faculty? I thought it was labeled
I don't think it's labeled as faculty. Well, I think anybody can.
It's the difference between it saying boys and girls and men and women.
I know that
they exist in both the new building of the Central School and the old building of Central School. And I know there's faculty laboratories at the high school where they used to be. I'm not sure now.
But I mean,
there is one, I believe there's one room in the part of the building at Notre Dame Municipal Center that has a separate, I think it was the kindergarten room, so the little boys and girls could go in and pee. And I think that was why that was there.
And I know the library restrooms are singles.
They're all single, yeah.
Doesn't that by default make it gender neutral then?
No, they're labeled male and female.
Oh, right. Gotcha. Okay.
Right, Paula? I'm like, I use either regardless. I don't care, but
okay.
Like
most I wasn't picking up on that. Gotcha. I'm with you now. Yeah. Sorry. It took me a minute.
The laboratory, there's only one laboratory. There is a staff laboratory at the library, which is not really marked. The other one is gender neutral, family, except you can't change a diaper in that one at the library.
Yeah, but I mean, it all comes down to labeling, right? And being very intentional. Not just like, oh, they can use it if they want to, right? Like that's not inclusivity. So I guess this was just me writing down ideas, right? So yes, I would have to extrapolate, like be more specific about what I mean here. What we would want them to do. Then one of the other things that obviously came out in the adult survey in particular was the lack of affordable housing. And so I do think that they need to make sure that plan does not sit on a shelf. And so, one of the ways in which they could push it forward is putting it as someone's job description, right? That they are responsible for pushing forward the goals in the affordable housing plan. Whether that's the town planner or the town administrator or whoever it is, someone should be responsible for trying to work with the commissions and residents and any, private businesses to push that agenda forward. They should work towards more diverse town employee and board of education recruitment. And then the other thing that I had seen, so I did do some research into other towns that have commissions. Some of them had ad hoc commissions. Some of them have permanent commissions, but they were like, Simsbury has a 5-committee commission. Like they were pretty advanced and they were mostly in towns that were quite a bit bigger than ours. Commissions of 20 to 30 members. So didn't think that was a feasibility here, but one thing that they did have was a citizen concern form I thought we might want to consider, which is just like an online form where if someone had a complaint or concern, they could submit it to the town. Theirs was identified. where, you know, they had to provide their name and their address or whatever, but maybe they, we, someone could set up like a confident, not a confidential, but like, well, confidential in the sense that they wouldn't make it public. Like whoever was reviewing these would be bound by some confidential ethics that if issues were raised and someone said, please keep my name out of it, that they could raise it to the Board of Selectmen confidentially or anonymously or something like that. Because we do want a way for people to continue to provide feedback to the town, I guess, or I would think we might want that. What are people, what are thoughts?
Those sound good. I have a couple other thoughts that I think if we suggest a commission, it shouldn't be more than five people. I don't think we've never had a full complement this entire year of whatever size we're actually supposed to be. The other thing about training, you know, diversity training for town staff, I'm surprised that there isn't, because I know that
there is. It's going to be coming up the end of January, but I'm waiting to hear. I intend to go to it, to take a day off of work and go to it, but I haven't heard the final dates from Jim.
Oh, good.
There's going to be two sessions. They will be limited to 30 people each, but anybody, I believe anybody on an employee or town commission can go.
Oh, good. That's good, because I know they've done that. I know I've gone to the sexual harassment training over the years, and I know they even had, which is unrelated to this, a freedom of information, which we all should be aware of.
I asked a while ago about it, but I have it because I wanted to share it, right? I wanted to put it out there on social media, like anybody in the commission, please feel free to attend this. But like I don't know. They haven't given out the permanent dates yet.
Yeah, good.
So,
well,
I was going to go to see what it's like, right? Like, is it a quality training? Does it cover what it needs to cover? Or is it like perfunctory?
Well, at least we're beginning with something.
So I think, I mean, we ultimately need to come to consensus on whether or not, or maybe we don't, about whether or not we want to suggest a permanent commission moving forward.
I would like to hook up with another, I think the code organization. That's a multi-community organization. I don't see myself participating very fully in the commission right now, personally. I think that the results of our study give me not confidence, but I'm happy about some, you know, a good part of the results of the student survey, all the surveys really. So I don't know what our rationale for continuing as a separate group. I would like the idea and the practice of diversity, equity, inclusion in all of our commissions, so that that's part of the charter of each commission, in a sense, it's in there. And that would be a good start. And being part of another group would be a good start, because we wouldn't have to have as many members. And then if we wanted to, there was something we wanted to do in the town of Bolton, we saw a need that wouldn't preclude us from taking action through a committee that already, or a commission that already exists. So
I think that idea is great, to add a statement around diversity, equity, inclusion to each charter. I think they're going to ask us for language for that. Same with, like, if we did suggest a permanent commission, they're going to want language for resolution and mm-hmm. stuff like that. I mean,
so they're going to have to give us more time.
Yeah. Supporting. So I do agree with, like, my hope is, and I have to figure out how to phrase this, but that if we do not have a commission, my hope would be that one, they would do what Bria said, which is like incorporate it into each commission. Two, that if individual citizens, like any of us, opted to wanted to work with a town commission to have an event or to incorporate DEI in an event, they would be supportive of that. Or two, if there was an event put on by an agency like Code, that they would allow, they would share it in the bulletin and share it on, you know, like, because we don't have a commission of our own, that they would, you know, support those other events as if it were our own, so that we can market it and build interest across the town. I think that would be like 100% like mandatory. Like, I feel very strongly that even if it's stuff that's done by a nonprofit or private citizens, if it's related to DEI, that the town should be strongly in support of it. Mm-hmm. Like, I put out feelers for the book club. I don't know if you saw that on social
media. What did you get? What kind of response did you get?
Three.
Not a massive one.
Three.
That was also one of my concerns, right? Like, I just, you know, I put out feelers and it was on everything bulletin, right? Everything.
It was on everything bulletin, but maybe that should have been put on maybe the anti-racism page.
I made the assumption that because everything bulletin is so big that a lot of the people on the anti-racism, I assumed everybody on anti-racism was on.
I don't know.
But you could be accurate. I don't know how large Bolton anti-racism is.
It's a good number. And then there's the Bolton LGBTQ.
So I can't look at the results. It won't let me.
Oh, I just saw them a couple of days ago.
I mean, I'm looking at it, the post right now, but so there were like five or six people that said, yes, they would join. And yeah, I think like three or four who said it depended on the book.
Right. There wasn't a lot of people.
Oh, maybe. Oh, can I? Oh, okay. Here we go. Eight who said yes. So not as so eight who said yes, three who said no, one who said not sure, and six who said depends on the book. So, I mean, still hoping that like something like that could get off the ground, whether or not there was a formal commission. So, I mean, if we decided not to push for a permanent commission, John, is that something you could live with?
We'll have to see what happens. It is going to be tough. I think it should be a smaller commission. And I also think that it says where you said add a DEI statement to the charge for each town board, because the boards control the commissions. The commissions are at the whim of the Board of Selectmen. And I think it wouldn't be a bad thing for the Board of Ed to have.
So I'll put board and commission. Because it should be everybody.
Yeah, but.
Okay. So, I mean, I just need to know what I'm going into the Board of Selectmen saying on February. So am I saying we want a permanent commission, or am I saying no, but in like we want all these other things? And if we do want a permanent commission, like, John, are you going to draft that resolution? Because we need to present them with something. If we just say we want you to consider a permanent commission, right, like nothing's ever going to get done.
So maybe we need to take a vote.
I think you know, we could present the charge that we were given and just say it again. I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel.
But I don't think that the charge we were, I personally don't think the charge we were given was very effective. But because it was based on issues, right? Like identification and elevation of potential issues. And we've kind of done an assessment of the issues and kind of identified that. And so I feel like that task is not necessarily over because things are happening all the time, right? But that's a very limited scope. And that we've discussed like when we first, you know, formed together this commission, that we weren't very clear on what we could or could not do without the permission from the board. And could we do education? Could we do event planning? Could we do whatever?
I think that if the commission stayed, that there'd be no one willing to lead it. I mean, look at all the work Amanda's done with her blood, sweat, and tears. So I think that's the biggest pitfall.
I agree.
Yeah.
Maybe we could say, you know, while we do believe that the town should have a permanent committee, at this point, you know, we can go back to what Adam said when you first presented it, that we're not sure that we could get enough people. So in the short term, our recommendation is until something could happen, you know, until we see indications that there could be more support from the town or something like that, this would be our stopgap, but that we still believe that in general, the town should have something or strive to get there someday.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I like that.
WZ, Jesus Christ, XYZ. All right. In the meantime, all right, I will finagle that more, but I do like that language. That's great. So the other thing I wanted to confirm is like we had an if I'm overthinking and really screwing things up, we had the original proclamation that we and statement, equity statement in the original survey. But then I went and looked at some really good statements and was like, ooh, that sounds good. And ooh, that sounds good. And so I made some tweaks and we can leave it the way it was originally, but I did add changes. So wanted to run these by you guys and see which version you guys prefer. So one thing that I found in the original version that we had was that we were just saying, in this section, it was just conduct. So conduct that inflicts emotional and mental or physical harm, and realizing that that left out systemic and institutionalized bigotry and racism and sexism, thinking that we should add the words systemic injustices in here, because it's not only, you know, the individual perpetrations between me and you, it's the bigger system, right? We want them to kind of admit that structural isms exist, right? And that they are problematic. So that was my reason for, because I didn't want to just boil it down to individual prejudices and treatment, right? It is a much bigger issue than that. What do you guys think about that?
I agree with that.
Yep.
So then I just added it down here too, such conduct and systemic injustice. Uh-huh. And then a lot of this, unfortunately, was very negative, right? It was very focused on what we don't want. And so wanting to add some positive language in here and like the importance of diversity and equity. And so this is something that I can't remember what town had that I word minced, but recognizing that the future prosperity, sustainability, and well-being of the town of Bolton depends on creating and maintaining an equitable and welcoming environment. For all residents and visitors, regardless of their identities. And then I left this. I'm not sure if we should keep this in here because this is more based on individuals, but I do like it because it kind of puts onus on residents, right? Like where each of us can and should promote inclusiveness. Mm-hmm. Would it be inclusiveness or inclusivity?
Inclusivity.
City, celebrate diversity and support all fellow community members, prevent the spread of misinformation and reject hate and bias in all forms, which will, I don't think, and I think it should just be, which will make Bolton a stronger and healthier community and it is now therefore proclaimed. So part of what was missing is like the things that the town would do. And so I added some things that I hope they would do, even if they're kind of performative, but be it proclaimed that the Board of Selectmen, by the Board of Selectmen, that Bolton is committed to being an inclusive community that embraces diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts on all levels to achieve fundamental change. I got rid of this, even though it's kind of important because that was more negative. That will continue to expand our local historical narrative to be increasingly accurate and inclusive, which I thought was a really good one from another one that I obtained. And it reminded me of Chris Davies, like he did some histories on African-Americans in Bolton, which I think should be shared broader in the community. An inclusive community that will implement equitable practices to all decision-making, including the municipal budget process. That will denounce efforts to instill fear in our community based on characteristics, including but not limited to blah, 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 and that will proactively develop an environment where differences are valued, people with diverse backgrounds feel a sense of belonging, and in which town practices, policies, and public engagement efforts align with a culture of inclusion. Oh, and then I copied all the stuff from the other page onto here. So what do you guys think? Do you like the original version? Do you like this version better? Do we want to mince it?
I like this version.
I do too.
I do too.
Agreed.
Okay. So you guys are okay with these deletions and then adding all this stuff in red?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Okie dokie.
There's
probably a...
I'm trying to find something, but hold on.
A typo?
No, I want to add part of a sentence, but you keep talking and I'll find it.
I can send it to you after and you can send it back.
This is wordsmithing, but down at the bottom where it says that will denounce efforts to instill, should it be that instill or to instill? The efforts to instill makes it sound like it's more... conscious?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yep. Can you just scroll up to the beginning of it? Okay, hold on.
And I thought, I really liked that denounce efforts that will instill fear, because like that's been one of my biggest pet peeves is like when people on social media or in town, like that woman who was handing out the CRT flyers, when they come, like, there's been no official town response to that hate, essentially. And I think they need to be responsible for taking a stance against stuff like that that's just meant to instill fear in people. And so that I don't know, that kind of a statement really resonated with me based on the stuff we've been experiencing here in Bolton.
Well, there was response from the school district.
The school.
To the parents. And that's, I think, wasn't that the only place people who would know it happened? Or?
Well, so there was a response from the school system that was like, you're not allowed to be on the property, you're breaking rules. But was there a response specific to what that woman was peddling? Mm-hmm. Like, we denounce, you know, people, you know, that CRT is not being taught in our school system, but... we are supportive of, you know, children knowing about, you know, the issue was not tackled, I don't think, just the action of the woman.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
It's a tricky area, right? But
yeah, and I would suggest that everybody try to come to the Board of Selectmen meeting on the 7th.
Yes.
At 7 o'clock, because I have a feeling that there's going to be more of the same, well, like the woman that spoke at that Board of Selectmen meeting, I forget which month that was, but the CRT person. I know who that is, and I've spoken with her months before about the very same thing. I think we're going to have that. We're going to have people coming and complaining about, you know, the trans community. And I don't know if I said it at the meeting before that, when, you know, over 50 years ago in our high school biology, they taught us about hermaphroditism.
Intersex.
We were intersex, but that's what we were taught, but intersex, yes, exactly. But, you know, we probably should use both words because people, older people wouldn't know the new term. It should be, we need to let people know that we were taught that at school. When we were taught that, and it was just part of life. It's like, oh, okay. And I, you know, I'll be certainly happy to do it again at a meeting if I have to, because it's just part of life.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, it's not that, oh, it's just maddening. And again, it's like, you know, it needs to be brought up because I'm tired of seeing these people murdered every week, every day for the last years and years and years. I mean, we've been watching this for decades, and it just can't be.
So I will I do want to wrap up, but I will let you guys know that our newly elected, well, not newly elected, but re-elected representative for the 8th district, Tim Ackert, is sponsoring a new bill about parental rights in education in the Connecticut General Assembly. I will try to find the language of that bill and send it to you, but it, you know, you know what that means, right? So we need to share this broadly. We need to share this widely so that people know what kind of policies he's putting forth when he comes up for re-election next year. I know this is a bipartisan committee, but it is really relevant to DEI work because the work around parental rights is to stifle, you know, any type of teaching or communication with children about DEI issues and LGBTQI issues as part of that. And so really relevant, I think, to the work that this commission does. So in between now and the 7th, which is a couple weeks, thank God. So I will be aiming to get a packet to the Board of Selectmen by the 31st, so 2 weeks from now. So I will work on finalizing the report this weekend and coming up with a couple slides for the Board of Selectmen, which summarizes the results of the survey and the final recommendations that we have both for the youth survey and overall the ones, the bulleted list that we went through. And I will be making a request to the Board of Selectmen that they officially put on the agenda for the 7th approval of the equity statement. So not that we're just presenting it at the meeting, but that I would like it to come up for a vote at that meeting. And we'll see what gets said. That we would like for it to come up for a vote at that meeting. Because I think, you know, anything that doesn't happen necessarily at this meeting may never happen, right? And wanting to make sure that things keep moving forward. So any other, I do have the last thing on the agenda following this, teasing out what we're going to do with the Board of Selectmen meeting is final comments from commission members, assuming that maybe we don't meet again, at least not in this kind of format. Wanted to give folks a chance to say anything that you might want to share with commission members and or the public. They may watch this video. As we wrap up our potential final meeting.
I was wondering, for the Board of Selectmen meeting, do you think they're still doing the online part as well?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, they definitely are. You just need to email Suellen Kamara. I don't know her name, but I can send her her information to get the Zoom link.
And then if you get it, send it all to everyone just in case. If it's, you know, especially if it snows. Well, if it snows, Anne and I can walk.
I can't send out the Zoom link for a board meeting, but I can send you the contact information for the person that they're very particular about handing out that information. Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I saw a good Zoom bomb at the Board of Selectmen back in January.
I will say that it's been an honor to work with you guys, and Amanda, you just continue to amaze me. Every time I see you, your leadership and your hard work is really, our town is very lucky to have you and all the people that volunteered on this. But Thank you, guys.
That's exactly what I was going to say is, Amanda, I just like, hats off. What an incredible job. And Paula for helping her out with this last part and all the other things that you've done along the way. I mean, I just, such a great job. Really, really excellent.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. 200%.
Yeah, and I'll stick along those same lines. As for me personally, I think this has been a very needed commission to really get things started, to kind of get the ground running for continuing as a work when it comes to DEI, whether it be under a official town committee or in some other type of form, whether it be such as a nonprofit. I think there's definitely going to be continuing needed work for DEI. And I know I am actually looking forward to actually exploring the nonprofit route.
Well, thanks everybody. I think we had a lot of, you know, progress this year. We did a lot of work in a small amount of time. And I think we did elevate some important issues to the town members and the Board of Selectmen. And, you know, I think the work has just begun, and how we choose to implement it, you know, is yet to be determined. But hopefully we were able to, you know, get it out in front of the town members and they learned something. Hopefully somebody read at least the executive summary of the survey analysis and the one that's about to be released. And I really appreciate everybody coming to the table, open and honest and respectful every meeting. And it's been really great working with all of you. And I'm sure we'll, you know, this is only the beginning, and we'll be in touch other ways. So hope to see all of you on the 7th. And, you know, I will send stuff out via email for you guys to review. So feel free to send me email feedback, since we won't have a meeting between now and the Board of Selectmen.
So, okay.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great
night. Thank you. Yep.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone.
Good night.